legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15, powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at dell.com/deals. That's dell.com/deals.
Celebrate July 4th with the hottest deals at Lowe's. Right now, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for $10. And buy two, get one free on select paint and exterior stain via Lowe's gift card rebate. Shop these deals before they're gone, because Lowe's knows summer savings. Valid through 7/10. Annuals offer in-store only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Actual plant size and selection varies by location. Paint, more terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details while supplies last.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House pushing back on reports that the president is weighing whether to drop out of the race as more Democrats voice concerns over his debate performance and health. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the president is clear-eyed and staying in the race.
Is President Biden considering stepping down?
Absolutely not.
Jean-Pierre also says the president has talked with top Democratic leaders and meeting with governors today. All are watching recent polls. 538 Politics podcast host Galen Druk with more.
Pollsters are asking, do you think that President Biden is fit for a second term, or do you think he's too old to be effective? And in questions like that, we see that a majority of Americans, but also frequently a majority of Democrats, say yes.
Hurricane Beryl quickly approaching Jamaica as it carves a path of destruction in the Caribbean. Jamaica bracing for a direct hit, and storm surge also a threat for Cancun and the Cayman Islands. This is ABC News. A new lawsuit alleges bias in hiring at Northwestern University's law school.
ABC News has obtained a lawsuit alleging Northwestern University's law school is biased against white men in its hiring practices. The complaint alleges the private university's law school gives hiring preference to, quote, mediocre women and applicants of color. The lawsuit was brought by a group called Faculty, Alumni, and Students Opposed to Racial Preferences, which fights against race and sex-based preferences in academia. The lawsuit was filed on the 60th anniversary of Lyndon B. Johnson's signing of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Ants may be pesky critters, but they're pretty good surgeons. Researchers say they've discovered that ants can treat limb wounds on their fellow ants by either cleaning the wounds or amputating the limbs. That makes them the only animal species other than humans that can perform life-saving surgery on their peers. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sounds like you heard about a July 4th sale. It's a great chance to red, white, and do that job you've been putting off. Like an oil change with full synthetic motor oil. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $34.99. Save on oil, wash and wax, and more this weekend at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. A home in Walworth County was destroyed after an explosion there. Happened Tuesday afternoon in the town of Lafayette near Elkhorn. When crews arrived to respond to the blast, they found a small fire in the basement. Elkhorn Fire Chief Trent Eichmann tells Fox 6 Milwaukee they also heard a man down there.
They did hear a voice, and they established contact with the patient. Probably took approximately 35 to 40 minutes to tunnel and extricate him out of the basement.
The man was taken by Flight for Life to a hospital for treatment. There's no word on his condition. Investigators say they don't know the cause of the explosion, though they think propane had something to do with it. The state fire marshal's office is assisting with the investigation. The deaths of a woman and her son in Adams County are being investigated as a homicide. The Adams County Sheriff's Office confirmed that Tuesday after the bodies of 62-year-old Sharon Miller and her son, 38-year-old Jamie Lumby, were found buried on property in the town of Strong's Prairie. Miller's body was discovered last week Thursday, while Lumby's body was unearthed Sunday. Autopsies on the two bodies indicate both were killed. No suspects have been identified, as evidence was submitted to the Wisconsin State Crime Lab. Wisconsin gets a shot in the arm for its biohealth efforts. Following a national competition created by the U.S. Department of Commerce, the state was named one of 12 regional tech hub finalists, earning the state $49 million in federal funding to encourage biohealth manufacturing, research efforts, and job growth. Wisconsin hopes to be a global leader in personalized medicine by creating some 30,000 jobs, which will create $9 billion in economic growth in the state over the next decade. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny, slightly muggy, and much warmer. As highs today climb to the mid-80s. Turning partly cloudy for tomorrow, shots of showers and thunderstorms swing through the state, especially into the evening. And rainfall totals could be high. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, 82 degrees.
Soybean oil futures turned solid mid-morning gains into a sharply higher close, helping to support bean prices. But corn and wheat, they acted like they didn't want anything to do with the rally heading into the 4th of July break in trade. Lean hogs were mixed again, and the cattle complex shot to the upside again.
Live from early Friday day via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we talk with Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
See, I don't know if having Bubba on brings me back to it being Wednesday or if it feels more like a Super Fun Friday because we've got Bubba.
Ooh. I think Super Fun Friday.
Super Fun Friday.
At the beginning of anything. Yeah, and I'm in.
Yeah. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Super Fun Dead Bird. I'm in. I'll take two. Can I get one for the wife? Sure. Sounds super fun.
Oh, see what wow. I mean? Yeah. Super fun. Super fun. The soybean oil market is having super fun. At least the bulls are in that market. 3 days, huge rally going on in that bean oil market. It helped beans out today. It feels like bean oil just got underpriced and it's starting to correct, and we're rolling some of the shorts out of that market right now. It'd be nice if that became contagious, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I like the sound of that. Roll them shorts out.
Exactly. We'll talk to Luke about that coming up here in just a little bit. Luke Beckman over in Elgin, Nebraska, at Central Valley Ag is where Luke is at. And we're going to get a crop update from him. We're going to talk about some things that are going on in the cash market over there in the Western Corn Belt and get his take on What the risk management side of things, what should growers be thinking about as we get past the 4th of July and looking for some marketing opportunities? All right,
sounds good.
Let's get to the news. What do you got?
Sure thing. Well, Chip, December soft red winter wheat futures opened fractionally higher and tried to rally, but stopped just short of a full test of resistance at yesterday's high. Prices then fell back, with the final tick hitting a new low for the day just under the pivotal $6 level. Generally favorable conditions for the spring wheat crop and solid progress on the winter wheat harvest continue to cap rally potential. Traders are also watching the wheat crop in Russia, where hot and dry conditions are expected in the week ahead. December HRW wheat futures 7.75 cents lower at 6.01. December SRW wheat off 6.75 to 5.98. At last report here, September spring wheat down 9.75 at 6.21 1/4, but still hasn't closed there on the September contract.
Right, yeah, that September contract is the only one that hasn't settled. Everything else looks like it's settled in that spring wheat market, but waiting for word on the September, 6.21 1/4. $6, here we are, the winter wheat markets are at that $6 level in the DEIS contracts. It's going to be hard to break them away.
Well, Chip, corn tried to trade higher early in the session, but any move to the upside was met with renewed selling interest as professional trading funds defend a big short position. December corn futures traded on both sides of 420 for a fourth consecutive session as traders search for a better understanding of this year's crop potential. Ethanol production in the weekend of June 28 averaged 1.064 million barrels per day. That's up 21,000 barrels per day from the previous week. Ethanol stocks in the week increased 171,000 barrels to 23.594 million barrels. September corn futures today, 2.5 cents lower, 405.5. December corn down 1.75 cents to 419.5. March corn futures closed at 433.5, down 1.5 cents. September corn, 405.5, Chip.
Yeah. Well, D's corn at 420. It's tied to 420 right now, and I just don't see it changing until traders know more about the crop.
Well, Chip, August soybean oil closed higher for a sixth consecutive session with futures up nearly a nickel over the past three sessions. August bean oil posted the highest close since April 5 and provided solid support for today's bean trade. Adding support to bean prices was USDA's export sales announcement of 110,000 metric tons of beans to unknown destinations. The sale was evenly split between the old and new crop marketing years. November bean futures posted a low range open and a high range close after testing resistance at 11.25. August beans on the day, 7.5 cents higher, 11.57 3/4. September beans up 6 3/4 cents to 11.17 1/2. November beans closed at 11.21 1/2. That's up 8 1/2 cents today, Chip.
Man, I tell you what, a nickel in 3 days in bean oil is an eye-popping rally. There's no question about it. The question that remains is, will they continue to exit those short positions when we start trade back up on Friday?
Well, despite deteriorating cotton crop conditions, a lack of dependable export demand kept the market under pressure. December cotton today was 34 points lower at 72.36. On your livestocks, this week's rally in beef prices has raised expectations for higher cash cattle trade at the end of the week. Reports of higher cash feeder cattle trade also helped to support the cattle complex. Most live and feeder cattle contracts saw a low range open and a high range close. August live cattle today were 82.5 higher at 185.92.5. The October contract jumped $1.20 to 186.85. August feeders, $2.27 1/2 higher at 263.37 1/2. And on the snout side, front month lean hog futures are clinging to the $90 level. July hogs today, 52.5 higher at 89.75. October hogs, a dime lower, 74.17.5. Chip Lorre.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, fellas? I'll tell you what, this is as bad as it gets, and I can't figure out why there's such a disconnect from the farming and producing side to the retail side.
Well, it is getting very frustrating for a lot of farmers out there that are sitting in areas where maybe the crop isn't as good as what the price action is reflecting. I mean, they're frustrated as heck, Bubba.
If you're in Minneapolis, South Dakota, North Dakota, those guys are getting murdered at the cost of put this in. I mean, they'll never be able to produce enough. Listen, I think it's the same story. Right now, the Bears are in control. I still think they're going higher, but I guess I'm just a farmer at heart that always thinks they're going higher. But at the end of the day, we can't get any price action. We can't get any real excitement that is attracting new buyers. And of course, the constant rally in the equities is not helping anything.
No, no. You know, this corn trade, every time the market tries to rally, the funds are there to beat it down, and it trades to the downside a whole lot easier than what it does to the upside right now, because it can't hold a rally. It just something to see.
Every rally is beaten down, and the scary thing is you know, I've said before, and China is known to have bought a lot more fine farmland in this country. And the more they get, the more control they get over what's going on. And I do believe that they are one of the sellers that are keeping prices down, trying to force farmers to sell their land. And, of course, we know that is not a good situation. It shouldn't be allowed. They already own the largest pork producer in Smithfield. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good stuff, Bubba. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later. Happy Independence
Happy
Day.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Pool.
I will, baby.
All right, Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag next here on AgriTalk.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at theagmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Don't miss Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, held August 13th through the 15th, hosted in Chippewa County at Close Farms and the Country Fest Grounds. This popular annual event showcases the latest advancements in farming technology. Farm Tech Days offers hands-on experiences, educational opportunities, and access to cutting-edge equipment and solutions in the farm industry. We hope you can join us for 3 days of exhibits, family fun, and food trucks, August 13th through the 15th. Advance tickets can be purchased at wifarmtechdays.com.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am Chip Flory. We've got Davis here as well.
Yep. You bet.
Wednesday, no trade tomorrow, guys. Markets are closed tomorrow. They will be opening up for your trading enjoyment. Luke Beckman is at Central Valley Ag over in Elgin, Nebraska, and he joins us right now. Luke, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Chip, doing well. Happy 4th of July.
Hey, thank you. Happy Independence Day back at you there, buddy. Talking to Bubba, it's not that often that I hear that much frustration come from him. Normally it's just, hey, you know what? I know that these markets are going to be good. I still want to be on the buy side. I don't know why the market was under pressure again this week. It shouldn't be. It needs to move higher. Today it was, dang, I still want to be long, but this is hurting. And I think a lot of farmers are feeling that frustration right now as well, aren't they?
No doubt. I think as you look at our commitment of traders report and the stocks report we got at the end of July, you know, those two things are pretty telling that the producer is the long in this market. And if we don't have the funds on the buy side, I think your end users have been so hand to mouth, it's just hard to find a natural buyer in this market to overcome both the selling pressure from managed money and the farmer long that eventually has to hit the market on the sell side as well. So just not enough buyers to absorb the selling that we have here.
Luke, why don't we have a quote-unquote natural long in this market right now? I mean, what's wrong with the end users trying to get it? Shouldn't they have some coverage at these prices?
You would sure think so. And, you know, we look to the cash market for some of those clues, and this stuff all seems to kind of jive, whether we like to accept that or not. But the cash markets are telling us right now that the end user is generally pretty uncovered. We've seen some pretty exceptional basis strength here in the last couple of weeks in the Western Corn Belt, and that aligns with the drop off in board values really the last, you know, half of June. But they're uncovered. And I think everybody thought as we got into closer to the 4th of July or even just in the summer in general, we'd see seasonal strength in the Board of Trade. We knew the farmer, you know, was sitting on a good chunk of the crop. The stocks report validated that. And we all thought that this corn was just naturally going to move into the pipeline. So I think the natural long, that being the consumptive users, just kind of felt like this market was going to come to them. Board values have dropped. That's been great for them if they're uncovered. But the cash market is, you know, a premium to futures in a pretty significant way out west. And it's just a result of the farmer holding on to the crop, and we just haven't had the rallies that we all thought we were going to get in seasonal fashion to just get that corn moving from producer into the supply chain.
Yeah. So in other words, in some cases, putting the crop in the bin and holding it is working. It's generating that basis bump that they're looking for. Now, it's not helping on the futures price. That's obvious. But it is, quote-unquote, working. Do they run out of time? Davis has been asking this question. He's asked me several times, and we talk about it. When does that corn have to move off out of farmers' hands?
Yeah, it's like you've been listening in on some conference calls that we've been having here for months, Chip. That's always the big question is trying to gauge farmer movement, and you just as well open up a spec account and trade futures because that's really what you're trying to guess. I have been surprised at the ability of the producer to keep grain off the market. Felt like we were in another high-cost production year this year. And ultimately, those input costs were just going to require that we move some grain. Now, they've moved enough. The producers certainly methodically been moving grain. It's kind of leaked into the marketplace. But I have been surprised at their ability to keep grain off the market. I just think we came out of three really good years of returns, and you know the financial condition is robust enough that they've been able to do that. So I think that's the big part of it. I think now we're just going to have a conversation about the calendar more than anything. I think for the most part, you know, if there's a good crop coming, which as we sit here today, it looks good. Joe Farmer's going to want to move grain off the farm, and eventually it moves, we think. It's just a question of, does it happen in a wave, or do we just kind of see it continue to trickle into the pipeline and maybe see one flush once we get into August, right before we prep for harvest.
Right. Okay. In the note that you sent, I thought it was interesting that you made a special note that, yeah, the managed money holding this record net short position is kind of amazing at this point in the growing season, but just as head-scratching is the commercial net long in corn. What is happening there?
Yeah, that's pretty rare. I mean, go back and you look at the data. Now, it happened in February. We did it there as well. And if you remember, that's when we had seen the lows, you know, up until recently. Same things, though. The same things were coming together. But for our listeners, you know, that commercial net long, that's your producers. That's your elevators. Those are your bona fide hedgers. That's that classification of traders in Chicago. And so if they're, when they buy cash grain from the farmer, or if Joe Farmer hedges corn on their own, that short shows up under that category. And so if the producer is hedged, or if the producer's making sales and the end users or the grain handlers own grain or own the position, you'll see it manifested in those report as a net short. And so for them to be net long, it basically means that the farmer is holding the corn. There's no ownership by the consumptive users or the elevator, the U.S. grain handler. They're generally out of ownership. You look at basis values that we've seen ascend in the last couple of weeks, and that definitely computes. I mean, if there was coverage out there and ownership within the elevator system, you know, the elevators, the commercial would be covering up the end user, and the end user scrambling to get coverage. So the stocks report also validates that the producer, you know, is sitting on more corn than normal. You know, on-farm stocks in the U.S. up, what, 36% compared to last year? So it's really in the farmer's hands. The commitment of traders report, the stocks report, it kind of supports this theme, and it has benefited the farmer. They've been able to hold grain off farm and seen basis values ascend. It just depends on if they're hedged or not. And if they're not, you know, net net, it really hasn't helped them. But if we can see the futures market rally, you know, we can maybe get cash values back to some levels that make sense for producers.
All right. So we've been trying to figure this part out, and I'm sure that you've talked about it on your conference calls. What triggers the funds to get out of the short position? I don't need them to get long, Luke. I would just like to see them get out of the short positions.
Yeah, it seems like they came back from Memorial Day with an axe to grind, and I don't know what the impetus was for them to really pile back into, you know, their short positions, but they really did it in some style. And if you look at a commodity index, you know, it's really been corn, it's been soybeans, it's been wheat. They've been on the losing end of, you know, what the funds have been doing. They've been buyers in a lot of your other commodity classes. Look at the divergence between crude oil and the energies and how they traded during the month of June compared to corn or soybeans. So you've just seen this pretty big divergence, which I think is odd also. Those things tend to correlate with one another. So if it's a weather thing, there's just not a lot of confidence that this crop is at risk, and it's just an easy thing to be short right now. They just feel like it's the thing to do. And I think weather and Mother Nature can be the trump card. Okay. And I think if we come back from the fourth and you've got a hot forecast, you know, maybe that's what we need to exhaust some selling, see them cover some positions, at least give us a chance. It'd feel a lot better, you know, if we could get December corn back above 450 get beans into the 1160 range on new crop November, I think that's a lot more palatable to producers than where we are today.
If we're asking for a rally, let's get it up to 490 again.
I'll take it.
Talk about feeling better. I think a lot of guys would feel a whole lot better at that than even at 4.5. Okay, we are in the middle of a conversation with Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag. Luke, when we come back, let's go to the balance sheets, okay? What does the market have factored in for a corn crop? I want to talk about that with Luke next here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check. Red winter wheat futures were 7.75 cents lower at 6.01. December soft red wheat dropped 6.75 cents to 5.98. September corn futures were 2.5 cents lower at 4.05 1/2. December corn down 1.75 cents to 4.19 1/2. August soybean futures 7.5 cents higher, 11.57 3/4. November beans closed at 11.21 1/2. That's up 8.5 cents. December cotton today, 34 points lower, 72.36. On your livestock, August fat cattle, 82.5 higher on the day to 185.92 1/2. August feeder futures, $2.27 1/2 higher at 263.37 1/2. And July lean hog futures today, 52.5 higher at 89.75. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Retirement.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair. To the kids sweating in the barn and all those parents standing ringside who really did all the work. Let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny, slightly muggy, and much warmer. As highs today climb to the mid-80s. Turning partly cloudy for tomorrow, shots of showers and thunderstorms swing through the state, especially into the evening. And rainfall totals could be high. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, 82 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking!
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag over in Nebraska. Luke, how are things looking over your way?
We're in pretty good shape over here, Chip. I mean, we've had a way different year than the last two. Nebraska, Western Corn Belt, tougher production, obviously, the last few years. So you can look at those, you know, climate reporting districts and look at rainfall going back to 18, whatever. Definitely on the wetter side for Nebraska to start the year. So overall crops look really good. We've got our scars in some of these fields and some low-lying areas that have had too much water. But for the most part, you know, this crop's in good shape, and we're definitely on pace for a trend crop as we sit here today.
Okay. So what does 420 corn, Dease corn, what does that represent on the supply side of the balance sheet, Luke?
Well, you know, when we look at projections based on what we got for acres last week and run everything through the table, you know, this crop's at a 16% stocks to use ratio. And really, if you plot the regression on that, I mean, 420's probably still overpriced. I hate to say that. But it really puts us in that time period that we were in a decade ago. You know, 2014 to 2020, we spent a lot of time in the mid to upper threes. And you're at those same types of stocks to use ratios or carryout levels. Now, prices don't operate in a vacuum. There's different variables and things happening today compared to 10 years ago. But from a purely fair market price standpoint, 420 corn is not underpriced relative to, you know, a 2.4 billion bushel carryout on new crop corn with a 16% stocks to use ratio.
Okay. What changes, what kind of changes would it take on the supply side of the balance sheet to make a difference to the market?
Well, we need to impact yield in some form or fashion before we get to harvest. That's the big thing. You know, the acreage thing, if it changes, it'll be a slow evolution over time as we go through, you know, different iterations of the USDA updates. So that's not going to happen in July. We're not going to see that happen in August. So yield's the quickest way for us to impact that. Wet years, I think, are difficult when it comes to production. We've seen that in some other wet years where those types of production issues come out later. Maybe it's a stocks report when we get into the 24-25 balance sheet. You get into the DEIS-1 stocks, the March, the June, the SEP. Those types of things can reveal issues from the harvest before, and I think we may get some of that. We've been really mild here in Nebraska, and I don't know if it's been that way across the U.S., but, you know, I'm sitting here in irrigated corn country, and, you know, warm, hot summers are okay. That makes a good corn crop. It makes for good grain quality. So when we get to grain fill, I think it's going to be critical that we do get some sunshine and some heat just to make sure that we're going to maintain a good grain sample, and that we don't have light test weight and those types of issues that can come from just being cool and wet.
Right. Okay. All right. What, anything else on corn that we need to discuss here, Luke? What's your attitude if we would get that move to 450 in Dease corn? What do you want farmers thinking about if that would happen?
I want them to take the sell pad out of the top drawer of their desk, and I want them to hit it. I want them to sell corn. That's what I want them to do.
Okay.
I think, you know, if we step back and we go to 30,000 feet and we look at the market, I feel we're in a supply building phase. That's where we're at in this cycle. We need to go build demand back up, you know, until you run into a production hiccup somewhere. I just think that's where we're at. We came out of, you know, several years of good returns, and everybody has the financial wherewithal to continue to throw money at this thing, quite frankly, because they can. And until you bleed some of that money out of the system, you know, people are going to continue to try to raise the crops and do a good job with it. So we're in that phase where we're building carryouts. It's getting bigger. So I just think we're in a margin environment that's going to be tight as we go forward. And that can be managed. You know, you can be successful. I just think you're going to have to be proactive. For a couple years there, it paid to do nothing. These are the types of years where it's going to pay to be proactive. Okay. So if we can get Dease corn to 450, 460, or the Chip Flory 490 sell signal, then, you know, we need to take advantage of that and put yourself in a good position for new crop. The other thing we need to understand about this market that we're getting into, we should see good carries in the board. And the way to take advantage of market carries, you have to be a forward seller. And if you like doing that cash-wise, you got to look further out on the bid sheet. If you're a hedger, you know, get it hedged and roll those positions forward into those carries. That's how you're going to be successful in these kinds of markets until something changes. So
yeah, merchandise.
That goes for new crop. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say you got to be a merchandiser in these kinds of markets. You can't just be a seller. You got to work at it. And I think you're exactly right. Is soybeans in the same kind of phase, just generally speaking, Luke?
In some ways it is. Beans are different just in general because it's, you know, so much of it just depends on what happens in South America. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gaining export share, global export share as we go forward. China's kind of plateaued on their import demand. We're trying to grow our domestic processing demand. That's a positive, of course. Bean balance sheet can change quicker than corn, it feels like to me, for those reasons. You know, if we can shave a couple bushels off the national yield on the bean balance sheet, you know, that's material and I think, you know, gives beans a chance. But demand as we go forward is going to require that Brazil and Argentina have some hiccups, you know, from time to time. You know, we've just put two pretty good crop years together back to back for Brazil and Argentina. And that's tough. And that's why we have a poor export year this year, because they've had a couple of those good crops. So they had a good crop last year. That's going to impact this year's export program. You see that in the USDA's estimates on the balance sheet today for new crop. I think that's legit. If you look at our export book today for new crop, it's nil, it's nothing. So that's all legit. Now, that said, we can impact yield. I still think you can get the bean market, you know, to rally, and we can get the crush industry expansion, get the legs underneath of it. You maybe get some changes with what we're seeing with used cooking oil imports into the West Coast. That's really hurt this renewable diesel story. It's taken some of the fun out of it, quite frankly, just because those types of products fit better with the carbon story than soybean oil does, quite frankly. Right. So we need a little bit of help in a few areas, I think, for the bean market. If I'm looking out 12 months and what the chances are there. And you also can't have corn at $4 or below and think that we're going to have $12 and $13 beans either.
Right. Right. This renewable diesel, I don't mean to say that it's not going to continue to develop, but it's taking a bit longer for the renewable diesel story to happen, isn't it?
It is, and it's a story that was really policy driven. I think we all know that. By itself, economically, it doesn't make a ton of sense, just in terms of what it costs, and probably not too different from ethanol in the early days. And now it's a viable industry, and you know, a really good source of cheap octane. So I think we'll get there with renewable diesel, but you know, it's having to be propped up to get it going. We'll see how this goes over the course of the next 24 months, because big crush margins also incentivize a lot of this expansion. And, you know, the used cooking oil thing's going on, and it's kind of taken some of the shine off of being able to market that soybean oil downstream. So we're going to compress crush margins. That should be an expectation as we add capacity. So how's that going to change things? Will we see some older plants idle just because of competitive pressures with newer, more efficient plants coming online. You'd sure think so over time. So there's just a lot of things I think the industry is going to learn as we go forward with where everything fits. How are we going to get rid of all this soybean meal that we're going to have? Yep. We're going to have to clear that. It's going to have to be exported. So I think you'll see Argentina, Brazil, they'll continue to be the global leaders in exporting whole beans. The U.S. maybe takes that away from Argentina and starts to be the world leader in soybean meal exports. You might see some of those things kind of play musical chairs and change hands a little bit.
Hey, why don't we just go ahead and feed that meal and export the meat?
That's the way to do it. Value-added production, right?
It is. Absolutely.
I made a joke about that chip at a farmer meeting, and I asked for a show of hands how many producers were getting back into hogs.
Yeah.
And the guy in the front row fell out of his chair, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Well, there's not a lot of incentive to jump into those hogs. Now, cattle might be a different story, but boy, oh boy, the hog market, they need to do something to bring some incentive on the production side back to it. There's no question. No question. Luke, these conversations with you, I don't know why I wait so long to get you back on. We need to do it more often. Thank you.
Happy to do it. Happy 4th, everyone.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Luke. That is Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag over in Elgin, Nebraska. All right. Davis and I are going to come right back, and we're going to wrap up this super fun Friday. Just joking.
O'Reilly. You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Look at your cup holder. It's empty. And you're feeling thirsty. Head to a nearby convenience store and fill it with a Pepsi Zero Sugar, Mountain Dew, or Starry. Grab a delicious, refreshing Pepsi for the road.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
Attention taxpayers, if you or your business owe the IRS back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, the IRS has green-lighted billions of dollars in tax relief to those facing financial hardship through its tax relief initiatives. If you have a delinquent tax problem and possibly facing wage garnishment, liens, levies, audits, or already in a payment plan, you may now qualify for significant relief. Qualifying and enrolling in this program could stop all collections, settle your tax problem, and may even reduce what you owe by up to 99%. Call the hotline at Tax Help USA to see if you qualify by dialing 800-853-1718. If you or your business owe at least $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS or state, you can now get the help that you need during these hard economic times. Call Tax Help USA to get your free tax assessment to see what you qualify for by dialing 800-853-1718. 800-853-1718. That's 800-853-1718.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
100 people in a Zoom. That sounds like trouble I don't want. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, on a non-Friday day of days. It's actually Wednesday.
Yes.
Well, we should probably say that word out loud as many times as we've said.
Friday.
Friday. No, it is Wednesday today. It actually is. July 3rd. Tomorrow, July 4th.
Right.
Can I just state the obvious? Couple of things. Number one, thaw your meats in the fridge, not on the counter. Okay. Don't put the grill too close to any structures. And you might say, well, wooden structures. Sure, I can see that. No, just any structures, really. Let's keep a safe distance with our grills. And I can confirm from several lapses in judgment and attention that when you burn yourself on that grill, it really hurts. So watch out for the kiddos with the little hands. You know, they want to help. God bless them.
Yep.
Just safety first, everybody. I'm going to leave mine at that for July 4th.
Outstanding.
Yeah. I'm hoping to.
Good counsel. Good counsel.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's, you know, and then let's all reconvene on Friday, you know, and talk about if we can sit with a smug sense of self-satisfaction that we've made it without horribly hurting ourselves or those we love. I don't know what to make of Bubba's comments because he's usually, I'm a buyer. I'm still a buyer here. He says this is as bad as he's seen it. What is he talking about? As bad as he's seen it? That feels like a little bit of hyperbole. He would probably even admit that. I don't know. It feels like a little bit of a different Bubba this afternoon.
It did. It feels like it sounded like a Bubba that has been long the market for a while and has gotten beaten up by the price action. I think he feels, you know, he said it. Gosh, maybe I'm just a farmer at heart.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
Always think the market's going to go higher. Yep.
Always thinking that the market's going to go higher. If the seasonals, and I almost said if the market was performing rationally, of course the market is performing rationally. Market performance is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if we would have seen some normal seasonals play out in this grain market, the funds, the managed money, would not be as heavily short as they are right now. It just wouldn't have happened. And what Luke said about the stocks to use ratio being up there around 16% might justify prices even being below 420 in the Dease contract. Listen, he's absolutely right. I cannot argue that. But a 16% stocks to use ratio is not in the bin. That has got a 181 bushel per acre national average corn yield on it. That has got a harvested acreage percentage that looks pretty normal when it probably won't be. It's got a lot of assumptions on the supply side of the balance sheet that I think are going to take some adjustment as time goes on. So is that the reason that the market is trading above the 420? Or I'm sorry, trading at 420, which might be above the price indicated by a 16% stocks to use ratio? Is that the weather premium? What if there is a weather premium in this market? Then we're not done. Then we're not done going down.
You had a really interesting comment that I would love for you to elucidate for us. You can't just be a seller.
Yeah.
In conditions like these, you need to be a merchandiser. Can we spend just a moment on defining what you meant by that? Merchandiser? What's the difference? Yeah.
Well, merchandiser, a merchandiser is it, like Luke said, is always looking at the structure of the market, looking for carry in the market, looking for ways that they can turn the value that they can sell the crop for more than what they bought it for.
Okay.
That's what the merchandisers are always looking to do. And if that means selling it forward into a carry market, that's what they will do. And growers need to look at doing the same thing. Can't just call up the elevator and say, what's today's bid? You know, you got to get today's bid for 30 days out, 60 days out, 90 days out. Get those bids and figure out which is the best marketing opportunity for you based on your storage and your cash flow needs and so on. And take a look, you know, do your basis analysis too. That's part of it. You got to do your basis analysis and figure out if you're dealing with a better than average, an average, or a below average basis, and pick your marketing tools based on that.
Yeah, I'm working hard to try and get some ideas out, and I have none. Spoiler alert: I have none ideas on how to help farmers, producers who are struggling through this, because this keeps coming up, and I think it's becoming more poignant as we go along in time. But this is not going to be the same type of year as the last few years, where it just sort of felt like the market came to us.
Right.
When you talk about that merchandising, I feel like that means we need to go out to the market rather than waiting for it.
Got to be active. Got to be active. No doubt about that. Yeah. All right. National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, July 9th through the 13th. Below normal temperatures expected in southern Minnesota, southeast South Dakota, eastern Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, and western Illinois. Near normal temperatures expected in most of the rest of the Corn Belt. You get into above normal temperatures further west and further east. On the precip, we are looking at below normal precipitation making its way in from the northwest. All of the Dakotas, most of Nebraska, northwest Iowa, all of Minnesota, and a little bit of western Wisconsin is in on that below normal precipitation. In the 8 to 14 day, the heat comes in. This is for July 11th through the 17th. The heat is expected to come in. Come back tomorrow morning. We're talking bugs and barbecue.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.